Alan Kring Productions, in association with Emergent Light Studio, presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 2 for Autumn Semester 2017. Lecture 15, delivered on October 10, 2017. The title of this lecture is Review for Exam 1.
Today, review for Exam 1. Exam 1 has 5 questions. You answer 4 of them. Don't answer 5 and say, give me credit for the best 4. You'll get the first 4 graded if you answer 5. You have a grading rubric online in ReggieNet so that you can see exactly what my grading criteria are. 5 points of each one is for your spelling, your punctuation, and your general grammar. And then 20 points are for the content of your answer. Answer using no more than two sentences. If you answer with 3, I stop at 2, and you just lose the points if your answer was in the third sentence. And don't try doing run-on sentences with extra commas and all of that. The questions, I'm looking for you to give me the answer and give it clearly and concisely. Don't get creative, and don't ever use math equations or graphs in one of my questions. I don't want that. That's not an answer. That's a picture. No text languaging, no abbreviations at all. You're communicating as a business professional. When one of your bosses says, what's this answer? He doesn't want you to come back with a long-winded dissertation. He doesn't want you to use text languaging, I guarantee you. That the senior people in companies don't want you to do that. So I'm getting you ready for that world out there. And you'll have difficulties on the first test. You're going to be frustrated. Well, why did you take off a point for that? Well, because you misspelled the word. You don't do that in my class. Now, down to the content of your answers. Again, be clear and concise. If I told you the answer at some point in the class, that's what I want you to give me back. This is based upon the lectures. Now, if the book talked about it too, which in many cases they do, the book does, the authors do, that's fine, but you answer what I expected you to answer. And when you're doing your studying, for heaven's sakes, go to your notes, go to the podcast, don't go to the internet for answers, because that will just, you'll have a world of trouble in that way. You study in groups, work on the assumption that the one who is telling all the answers is probably the dumbest one in the group, okay? The alpha is not a bright person, generally speaking. And I found that I get a lot of answers, clusters of answers that are all the same and they're all wrong. Well, I studied in a group for this. And, okay, and there was someone who told you the answers. Yeah, that was the one who will be a future employee of Clowns R Us. Don't be a follower. You take advantage of the information that I've given you, the podcasts, your notes, and also the work of others, the notes of others too. Work together if that's what you want to do, but always think on your own. I'm going to give you some questions that I think you should know. Hint, hint. Nudge, nudge. And now this is by no means all of the questions. And don't come to my office and say, I want you to pre-grade my, I want to run these answers by, no, I don't do that. We can talk generally about questions, but I don't grade answers before a test. Now these questions will, I'm going to give you maybe about 15, 20 questions here. Now after I'm finished, I'm going to say, do you have questions? Now the herd plan would be everyone stay silent so you can all leave early. the one who will be unpopular is the one who actually asks me questions. Everyone says, oh, if you ask me a question, is this going to be on the test? And it's not going to be on the test. I'll say, no, that's not on the test. So it's worth your while. It helps narrow your studying if you can ask me a few questions back on the exam content. Actually, I could put the exam up on the overhead for you to see. Nah. Like I said, I want you to study when I ask these questions. Every one of these is something that I have talked about in lecture. In many cases, I have told you the answer. In some cases, your answer could be, there's one here, if I'm right, if I've calculated it right, you can answer it in seven words, a one-sentence, seven-word answer, okay? Now, always remember, when you write your answers, be crisp. Don't start out with, I think, I feel, I believe. That's not what we do in business. We say what we have to say, and then we get on with the next project. What is money, and what are the three types? Again, what is money and what are the three types? Now, there's a side part to this. This is, I've had people answer this question in the back saying M1, M2, and M3. That's not what I'm asking here. It's about something else. Why are interest rates important in forecasting securities prices? Why are interest rates important in forecasting securities prices?
So you said prices or prices?
Prices. Now, in this one, and I'm giving you a few guidance principles. I won't do this on all of them, but in this one, this sounds like one of the more difficult questions. I do level 1 through 5. This is actually a level 2 question. The answer is not complicated. It's a very straightforward answer. It's a one-sentence answer, if you know the sentence. Again, why are interest rates and changes in them important in forecasting securities prices? I should also note, by the way, these questions would also be part of your question base for the final exam, which is a comprehensive. So don't just throw away the ones that aren't actually on the test because they could come back to haunt you on the final. Yeah?
Say security prices.
Securities prices. Again, the next one is a one-sentence answer, very short answer. What is the relationship between the term of a bond and its price? What is the relationship between the term of a bond and its price? That's a nine-word, one-sentence answer. I actually said this answer. I gave you this answer in class a couple of podcasts ago. Now, by the way, the questions on the exam might not be word for word these, but they will be the same question overall. Who has the residual claim to the cash flows of a corporation? And what are the two ways the corporation can satisfy this claim? Again, who has the residual claim to the cash flows of a corporation? And what are the ways a corporation can satisfy this claim? And what are the ways that a corporation can satisfy these claims? Now, I've gone through this I said this in 4 separate lectures, the answer to this one. So those podcasts are going to be a very good thing for you to study. Your notes, if you're taking good notes, excellent resource. Explain two costs critical to financial analysis that are not in financial statements. Explain two costs that are critical to financial analysis that are not in financial statements. A little help on this one. This one goes back to the several times I talked about the difference between finance and accounting. And I did this actually in the second lecture, I believe. And then I did it a number of times after that too. A little caution. If I say list, you just give me a sentence that has a list. Don't ever do bullet points. Write a complete sentence. But if I say list or what are, don't give me an explanation. If I say explain, give me a little bit, okay? Don't give me what I want, but what I don't ask for, but if I ask for it, give it to me. So keep that in mind. And again, if it's a list, that doesn't mean you just put three bullet points down. You wouldn't believe the number of students who just have a cow because they just put 1, 2, 3, and I took off half the points. Well, that was the right answer. Yes, but you did not answer it the way I asked you to. How's that going to work out there in the workplace when you do what the boss doesn't ask, tells you not to do? Just give me a nice complete sentence with the commas and all that if it says list. Or what are? What are the three types of money? That's just tell me. If I say explain, then you give me more. How would the... No, I'm not going to ask that one. Oh, I ought to. No. Why is the market cap important in financial analysis? There's a front end. What is the market cap and why is it important in financial analysis? What is the market cap and why is it important in financial analysis? Now, I've shown you that one over and over again on the board. My coffee. Oh. What are two differences between common stock and preferred stock? What are two differences between common stock and preferred stock? A corporation can finance capital projects by issuing debt or by issuing equity. Give one advantage and one disadvantage of each. This is a level four question. It's a tougher one. A corporation can finance major capital projects by issuing debt or by issuing equity. Give one advantage and one disadvantage of each. Yeah, sure. A corporation can finance major capital projects by issuing debt or by issuing equity. Give one advantage and one disadvantage of each. You would frame the answer. One advantage of issuing debt is, and then comma, and one disadvantage of debt is, period. Then the second sentence, one advantage of issuing equity is, comma, and one disadvantage of issuing equity is, comma. Frame tightly. That's one of the important things about writing well, is that then you can get your answers out without a lot of words and a lot of sentences. Yeah. Yes. That once. It was on the board once. But there was more talk about it. Talking about the advantage and disadvantage. I'll even give you a little leader in it. Remember how I talked about debt as a relationship that ends and equity is like a marriage? But with debt, you can't mess around with equity. Debt holders, you can't mess around with them, but with equity holders, what's the worst they can do? Okay, that's a little bit of a helpful leader on that one. Okay, next one. What happens to the price of a bond as the spread between debt and equity? What happens to the price of a bond as the spread between its coupon and its yield increases? Again, what happens to the price of a bond as the spread between its coupon and its yield increases? All other things being held constant. Now, you could even answer this one yourself on your calculator. You could just test to see what happens. You put in a standard bond, you put in the coupon, and then you try different yields increasingly away from the coupon, and you'll see what happens. Whether it's a premium or a discount to par, you'll see what happens as you leave your coupon alone, but then you increase the spread on the yield. You'll see it. What financial ratio would clearly indicate that a corporation was in default on at least some of its debt obligations? What financial ratio would clearly indicate that a corporation was in default on at least some of its debt obligations? What is the relationship between risk and return? Watch it on this one. It is a very short sentence, but if you leave out a word, you lose some serious points on this one. Just because I say risk and return doesn't mean that's what you have to come back with exactly. One of those two words, both of those two words, carry an adjective. And I'm trying to mislead you by saying, answer, just say risk return, which would be an incomplete answer. There's an adjective, especially on one of them. Now, I haven't talked a lot about the adjective on the other one, but on one of them, we don't care about return, just like we don't care about cost. Just like we don't care about a lot of things if all we're talking about is the past. I'm being so good to you right now. It's creeping me out. What is the beta of a stock measure? And what does a beta of exactly one mean? What does the beta of a stock measure? And what does a beta of exactly one mean? Now, I did screen after screen, and I showed you there's beta. Okay, and you got to the point where you could answer, okay, that beta tells me. So that should not be too hard. And then I explained the basics. We'll do a lot more with beta as the class goes along. What does flight to quality mean? What does flight to quality mean? That was earlier in the course, in the early lectures. And I showed you some examples. What are the components of the risk-free rate, and what are the components of the risk premium? What are the components of the risk-free rate, and what are the components of the risk premium? Notice in this one, I'm just asking you what are, which means that I am not asking you to explain them. I'm asking you to just give them to me. And again, there might be a temptation to write an equation. Don't. I've given you enough. You ask me some questions. Again, this is not comprehensive. There are things that might be on the exam that I haven't gone through. Go ahead. Say. Dang, woman. Explain two costs critical to financial analysis that are not in financial statements. Yeah. Yes.
I wrote down four types of money.
Ignore that last one.
Okay.
Pretend it doesn't exist. Because look, I told you, I'm preparing you for the best jobs you could possibly get in the 20th century. Okay? Yeah. I'll talk about things like that in class, but officially... Huh? You and I are going to live long into it, so, you know, bro, we don't have to worry. I've had a few there. I like that better than this one. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, 4x6. And don't ask me, can I have information on the back of it? What am I going to do, climb through you to look? Really? You can write on the edge if you want. The thing is that what I find out about, what I've learned over 36 years, is that you very rarely are going to actually use it in the test. What you do is you study. That's one of the best ways I can get you to really focus down and study is to prepare it. Because like I said, you're not probably going to use it in the test hardly at all. You're going to be plowing too fast. And again, I've said this before, by the way, if you got your major act together, it should take you 20 minutes to do this test. And then you have plenty of time to go back through and edit and proofread. So as far as I'm concerned, mistakes that you make in spelling, grammar, and all that, I've given you plenty of time to take care of that. Now, if you're still here at 1 hour and 15 minutes, that worries me a lot. I did figure out one, though. I had a couple of students who were just kept staying and staying. What they were hoping, everyone else was gone, what they were hoping is that I was going to go out of here, leave for a few minutes because I was bored. I didn't. Anyway, go ahead. Other questions? You don't have it? Yeah. Yes.
You said it's going to be a one-sentence answer that's very simple.
It seems hard. It does seem hard, but you can answer it very quickly.
Okay. And then so could you kind of like do a side note for what is money, three types of money, like one part of the course, did you mention it, or did you write it on the one-sentence
answer? The money I put right there. Okay. Now, the part about interest rates, that has critically, this is one of those, it's a higher level question, but the answer is straightforward. It has to do with thinking about the valuation principle and how I get values. Do you remember how I've been valuing things in this class with equations? When I talked about what you are worth, I talked about something that I use for calculations of asset values. I don't look into the past. I look where? Where do I look for your value now? Do I look at what you've done? Talk to me. Yes. But what affects the future? As I look at it from the present, I have to look at the future, bringing it back to here. So in other words, all your value is out there that I must look at here. How do I do that? And how is that value changed? I'll tell you this. Right now, you are worth more than you will be if the Federal Reserve acts to stop inflation. Stock prices. Remember how I calculate a stock price with the dividend growth model or whatever it is? Look at the denominator. Look at the denominator. And ask yourself, what is in that denominator that is driving the price of a stock? What am I doing every time? What parameter is always in pulling future value back to the present? No matter what I did, I didn't care about the future. I wanted to know what the future was worth to me now. There was something in there. Always, always. I've never talked about the future concerning value now without doing something to the future. Yes. No. No. Go.
One of your first questions you asked for three types of money.
Oh, I thought you were going to listen. No, drop that last one. That was the joke I was telling over there. We don't talk about that last one in polite company. I'm getting you ready for great jobs in the 20th century, okay? Let's pretend that the century has not moved forward. Yeah, go. No.
Okay.
Never math on these tests. I just dump that math at you on those online assessments. Realistically, I need you to be able to do that. But more realistically, I need you to understand. And the only way I can get you to understand is to write. I mean, one of the things that drives me crazy is with mathematicians, and I was a mathematician. I was one of the high-powered jockeys who moved over into economics and finance. They think an equation is an answer, and they just stare at you. And finally, when I started giving exams to those kinds of folks, they bombed them because they couldn't explain in plain English what it was. Here's an integral. Well, that's very nice, Sparky. Why isn't that my answer right? Because, Rain Man, you wrote an equation. Forgive me for that, but I want you to just give me words. And don't give me a symbol, interest rate, R sub M. Just say the market rate, the expected return to the market portfolio. Don't write the shorthand and don't do the abbreviation. Oh, and I guess I already mentioned it. Don't use text language. I had one student say, IDK, lol. What? Do not ever lol me. IDK lol? Well, KMA, minus 25. Yeah, write in complete words, for heaven's sakes. FML. fancy my life. Okay, what else? Some good questions there. And see, if you ask me a question, maybe I'll give you a little bit of help. Drive you forward a little bit on it. Yeah.
The question, for the residual claims of capital incorporation, do you want all parties or the first party?
There is only one residual claim.
Okay.
There is only one entity, one person. Remember, the word person can mean more than one, but there's only one person who has that residual claim. And it might be many people, but it's one person under the law. What else you got for me? Yeah. Yeah, that's the question. Where what are the components of the risk premium? Yes. Now again, that one's one where if I don't say explain, don't give me what I don't want. Okay. Yeah. Okay, you're not very old, right? There was back in the day, you see cereals that were introduced in my time. Now there's new marketing campaigns, but there was one cereal. It was one of the first cereals. It was the first cereal that had, instead of cereal squares or round, it was shaped like animals. And so during the cartoon, there was Lionel the Lion, who was the narrator for the commercial. And every time he said, "Post Crispy Critters," this whole herd of animals came running across, stampeded over him, saying, "The one and only cereal that comes in shapes of animals." Okay, next. Okay, let's try this one. There are a couple of iconic magazines that show pictures of the world, and they've been around for many decades, showing people in average America what the rest of the world looks like, both the joys and the tragedies. You know, everything from the Olympics to famines to great successes of athletes and playing fields, and also great tragedies. They had a picture of where an airliner had crashed. Now, in the 1960s, that was a dramatic thing. And it had crashed in this neighborhood. And there was a debris field like you wouldn't believe. And the photographer took an amazing black and white picture shooting up at the fuselage of the plane, and right in front of the camera was a baked dog. He was still trying to run. You could see the dog had baked while he was running. Okay? Flight to quality. Still not there? Okay, let's try another one.
No.
Let me give it to you. No. Look, think about it this way. If you are feeling good, you go home, you've got friends all around you, you open some brewskis, and you, the whole night, you eat potato chips, order pizza, everything's great. You stay in your home, which you have a lot of equity in, right? Okay, now, suppose at the front door, all of a sudden, zombies are beating on the door. And you think, well, I've got very tender, tasty brains. I got to get out of here. Do you stay in your home that you have a lot of equity in? Do you stay? Because one of them is, he's still got some sense. He picks a lock, and they all come in. Okay, no. What do?
You leave.
You leave that home in which you have equity, and you go someplace else. I'm doing everything I can here. Real problems for real people. What else? Yeah.
So if we have the literal description that you gave us, do you want us to just recite that or put it in our own words if we have that?
If your words are as good as mine, yes, you can put it in your own words. But be cautious about that, because it sounds like, okay, behind the curtain, I do a shtick in class, and it sounds like I'm always in a joking mood, but there is a whack of a punch behind some of the things I say. It sounds like I'm just talking, but I'm actually giving you a very specific wording. And if you deviate from that wording, you might be at peril that you missed something subtle or something important in your own words, okay? Remember, even Julius Caesar gave a speech in which he did at least something that got him stabbed by his friend Brutus, okay? Now, I hear that he just didn't stick to his script. Stick to your script, and you won't die like Julius Caesar. On the bright side, he's well known now. I mean, but I'll choose obscurity over getting killed by my friend. What else? Yeah. Okay. I'm going to help a little bit more with this one. Only one of them has a guaranteed dividend. Both of them are equity, right? That helps you out a lot. I mean, they call me Pizza Hut because I deliver. What else? Solid questions, yeah.
Will there be anything mentioned about the inverted yield curve?
No. No, actually, that was when I was reading that I stopped reading. Yeah, there will not be a question on the inversion of the yield curve. Go.
Number nine, what happens to the price of the bond is spread between coupon yield increases? You don't indicate which way the spread increases.
That's right. That's right. So don't bias. I'll tell you right now. A way you can get that answer wrong is to say something like the price falls or the price rises. You'll just lose all the points. You better put that in your right there with that question. Do not say the price falls. Do not say the price rises. I'm saving some of you 20 points telling you that. It's not common, but I've seen maybe about 15, 20% of the answers would be something like that, and it's absolutely wrong. Because I'm not telling you which way the spread happens. In other words, I'm not telling you if the yield goes above the coupon more or if the yield goes below the coupon more. I'm just asking you what happens if the spread, if the coupon's sitting here, if the spread, if the yield gets too much on either side away from the coupon. That's how you think about this. Again, don't answer the price falls or the price rises. See, you got some good information out of me there. Yes?
So, for the exam, only these questions here?
No, I didn't say that. Again, there might be something on there that I haven't covered. That's why I'm giving you a chance to ask me some questions here. I mean, I'm not going to hand you the birthday cake before your birthday. Anything else? Yeah. About what? No. And then they're going to say, well, you didn't test them on ethics. Well, I talked about it, and then they'll find out about ethics when they go out there and find there aren't any. Yes.
So anything
actually, not this test. I'm not going to do it on this test. Yeah. Yeah, there was. What is an advantage of and a disadvantage of using each? So in other words, I can finance a capital project by borrowing. That's issuing bonds. What's an advantage and what's a disadvantage of that? And then I could just sell common stock, do an IPO or something like that to raise funds. What's an advantage of doing that and what's a disadvantage of doing that? That's where I would, that would be the one, what is sometimes called the compare and contrast for debt versus equity. It's something along that line. Yeah.
Is the whole thing that you did on the board about like when interest rates go up in the U.S. and there's all those effects?
No, I was going to do that, and then I thought, I don't want my tires slashed. That is, we're going to go back through that in the second half of the course. That was just the first layer. Honestly, you need two or three layers of that before you could I'd ever hold you to that. That was, if you notice, that was a lot like work, just even trying to think about what I was doing up there. Not going to do that on this test. You're not ready for it yet. And remember, the way I stage these tests, your first test is 5% of your grade. That's because you're going to get hurt by this test. It's going to be a hard one. You get better. Every semester I've ever taught this course, you get better as the course goes along. You answer the questions by the end. You are just absolute geniuses, and you should all major in finance, except for you. I don't know why. But the deal is that you get better, and that's why it's only 5%. If you're burned, you're burned. Okay? Yes. Again, nothing about the Fed. Nothing about the Federal Reserve on this one. Yes. Yes.
I feel like there's more than one financial ratio that
we need to check. No, there is one. There is one that is like a blinking beacon. And I believe, when I brought up the financial statements, the first financial statements, real ones, I brought up from the SEC, I believe that was the fourth ratio I showed. And right there I showed why. I told you why. There is no question. Other ones you could say, well, the company's in trouble, or it might be. But there's one that is a blinking beacon. If it falls below a specific number, the company is dead. It's over. And remember, I told you that that doesn't mean the higher it is above one, the better. I went into a discussion a little later that this one has sort of a balancing act on it. But definitely it has to be above a specific number. Yeah.
Can the ratio be obtained through the balance sheet?
No. That was a good leading question. Now, there are some that are called income statement ratios. There are some that are called balance sheet ratios. And then there are the ones that are called the mixed ratios that use something from both. Like ROE and ROA use a number from the income statement and a number from the balance sheet. But then one like the current ratio uses only balance sheet. And then there are some that use only the income statement, like the gross margin, the net margin. So there's kind of there's a whole bunch of them.
So this wasn't a mixed ratio?
It was not. You're working, aren't you? Yeah, work it, boy. Yeah.
So was this one that we had to do ourselves, or was it stated in the financial statement?
No. Oh, if it's a ratio, you have to do it.
Okay.
Yeah, and yeah. I even tell you, it's two numbers that are one right on top of the other. Anyway, I gave you way too much on that one. Anything else? Okay. That's all I have for you. I'll be in my office tomorrow for about an hour from 1 to 2. If you want anything, come in. That's all I have for you today. I thank you.